Welcome to the Pursuit of Bliss podcast. My name is Kristen. I'm a self-professed health, spirituality, and mindset junkie. You know that blissful happiness you feel when you're just at peace with yourself, living fully in the present moment? That's the feeling I believe we are all in the pursuit of. And I want to help you get one step closer by up-leveling your health, mindset, and love for yourself. Because that lasting and blissful happiness can only be found and created within. So get ready for all things mindset, holistic health, and spirituality. I hope this serves you. Hello, hello. Today, I want to talk about a topic that I don't think I've ever recorded a podcast on before. And it's not a topic I usually share that much about, but it really is one of the cornerstones of manifestation. And this is a topic that I think I stayed away from for a while because it's so just everywhere, right? And that topic is how to love yourself. And you see this all the time, the free self-love guides and like 5 steps to loving yourself and blah, blah, blah. And to be honest, that stuff really bothers me because to me, self-love is so much more than a bubble bath or a 5-step process to loving yourself or whatever, you know, and it goes so much deeper than any surface level activity we can take part in, you know, a bubble bath, buying yourself dinner, cooking for yourself. That's amazing, but that's self-care. It's not self-love. And at the same time, just telling someone to start loving themselves doesn't do anything. That's easier said than done. There's so many layers as to why so many of us find it so difficult to love ourselves. And that's why I spend so much time in my academy on self-worth, because once again, it's the cornerstone of manifestation. We cannot out-manifest our own belief system around what we're worthy of. And that is, you know, equal to self-love. When we truly love ourselves, what we're doing is we're seeing our worth. We're understanding, probably for many of us, the first time since childhood, our true value, our true worth, and we're loving all parts of us. And learning to love yourself doesn't just mean seeing your worth in the version of yourself now. It means loving all versions of yourself. The version of yourself that existed a week ago, a year ago, 10 years ago, the one that made that mistake you've never forgiven them for. Loving and accepting every single version of yourself. And that is a lot easier said than done. And I could honestly record an entire episode on forgiveness. And that is another topic that I cover in my academy because, you know, honestly, that's not even a topic that can just be talked about in a podcast. That's a practice that has to be practiced. Forgiveness is a practice, as is self-love. It's a practice of relearning how to love ourselves. And I say relearning because as children, when we incarnate as souls into these human bodies, our nature is love. We are born not knowing anything other than loving ourselves. It's natural. It's like fish in water. They don't know anything but water. They would never imagine what it would be like to not be in water. That's what it's like when we're born. We just are love. We don't even think anything of it. We would never think to not be that way until we are taught by the world we grow up in that that's not right, that we're actually not lovable, that we're not worthy of love. And this can happen in many, many, many ways. And one of the best ways, like the biggest act of self-love, is to be yourself fully and authentically. Authentic expression is an act of self-love, a difficult act for a lot of people, because to be totally, completely honest and transparent, most people do not know how to be themselves. Most people just don't. I didn't used to know how to be myself. And the reason being is we grew up in a world that tells us that being ourselves isn't okay. We receive kind of this idea of what someone who is accepted by society, what someone who is successful by the terms of society looks like and acts like and talks like and dresses like. And if you don't fit into that mold, our society has been created so well to keep us there. If you don't fit it, you're going to feel like an outsider. You're going to be made fun of. You're going to be scoffed at because everyone has that same programming and conditioning in this matrix of society. And so if you stray from it, you're going to be herded right back in, or you're going to feel like an outsider your whole life. And that's what we're taught, right? That's what we learn basically in childhood, because if you act any different, you're made fun of by other kids. And basically your subconscious mind learns that it is not safe to be your authentic self. So many of us learn this in childhood. It is not safe to be my authentic self. It is not safe to express all of my thoughts. It is not safe to express all of my emotions. It is not safe to be vulnerable. It is not safe to be silly or magical or weird. It is not safe to be different. And so we grow up into these adults and we walk around with these facades and we're all interacting with each other with these masks on. And we're putting on this version of ourselves that we think we have to be accepted. But so is the other person. And so we're all interacting through these masks, through these facades. So none of us are really having real, genuine, deep, authentic, soul-level interactions. And I don't mean to say none of us, okay? I'm very much generalizing here. Some of us do. And of course, you can be your authentic selves with some people. You can grow into that with some people. But in general, in the world. And this is how I felt in the world. I felt like if I was to be myself, I wouldn't be successful. People wouldn't take me seriously. My friends wouldn't like me. I would never find a partner. I would never be totally loved. And I know I'm not the only one that feels like this because I've heard this from a lot of people that I work with. One of the biggest struggles I see a lot of, especially women, but men and women, human beings in general, anyone, regardless of your gender identity, I have heard this from so many people is that I'm not comfortable being myself. Like, I feel like I'm trapped in my own body. And I remember saying those exact words probably about a year ago. I feel trapped in my own body. Like, I feel so confined. I cannot be myself. There is something holding me back. And this is why I say that being yourself is the biggest act of self-love, because it can be very difficult. And when you do show up as your authentic self, regardless of your fear, regardless of what happens, you're showing yourself, you're telling yourself on a subconscious level and showing the universe, me exactly as I am, I'm worthy. I'm good enough. Like, I love myself exactly as I am. And no amount of saying I love you to yourself in the mirror or affirming to yourself all day long that you love yourself, that is powerful. I'm not saying that's not. I do that stuff. I love that stuff. But no amount of repeating affirmations or telling yourself you love yourself can ever take the place of actually acting on that. And this is the part that so many people miss in the self-love world is action, taking action to actually show yourself, to show your psyche, show your subconscious mind, show the universe that these aren't just words I'm saying. It's not just fluff. I actually do. And this is the hard part. This is the scary part, taking the action to prove to yourself that you really are worthy, that you really do love yourself, even if you don't feel like it yet. So, like, ask yourself, what parts of me have I been repressing or afraid to show up as? And a really good activity or a journal prompt entry or just something to think about is, what were you like as a child, a very young child, the youngest that your memory goes back? Before society told you how to act, what successful means, what you can or can't do or say or express or dress like, what lit you up? What things did you love as a child that you no longer give yourself permission to take part in anymore or to love anymore? Like, for me, I was a very magical child. I wrote letters to fairies all the time. I used to play make-believe. I was always pretending I was Pocahontas and talking to trees. I was always making potions. I used to love teaching. I used to teach my sisters all the time. I used to color. I used to draw. I used to play make-believe. I was a very, very magical child. And I lost a lot of this. I stopped doing it because we learn what it means to be a mature grown-up. And all of that stuff, the drawing, the playing, the make-believe, the magic, it doesn't fit into that mold. So I let it go. But it was still a part of me deep down. And so then I always just felt like there was this weird, silly, magical, playful part of myself that I was never expressing. And I didn't feel it fully myself, but I couldn't express that part because I had been conditioned to believe that that part of me wasn't safe to express. And, you know, this goes all the way back in our collective consciousness, right? If you're like me and you believe in reincarnation and we go back into the collective consciousness of the feminine collective and we go back all the way to like witch hunts and witch trials in those times. And we can see in history for a very long time, it was never safe to be ourselves, to be our full magical selves or any part of ourselves. Even if that just meant like making herbal mixes, all of that stuff you could be burned on a stake for or drowned, killed. It was not actually physically safe for women to be themselves. And there has been a long history of this kind of thing happening, not just witch hunt trials, but, you know, over and over in history, it's not been safe for women to speak up for themselves, to express themselves, to be any kind of magical or healer or anything of the sort, to be radical. None of that was safe. It all meant death. It all meant persecution. And so that has been in our collective. When I said collective, it's like this, we all have a collective energy that we are a part of and that our souls are a part of and connected to. And we reincarnate each lifetime to learn more lessons and evolve our soul. And, you know, we're also here to help heal our lineage and heal the collective energy. We're here to help evolve also the collective consciousness, and anything that has not been healed in history and in lineages and generations, we are here to heal it. And so there is this fear still that a lot of us feel, and it's not our own fear truly. It's that fear that's been passed down from generation to generation that was never healed. That fear from the generations of women where it truly wasn't safe for them to be themselves. So a lot of us women, not just women, everyone, but a lot of us who are women especially, are feeling this on a really deep level that it's unsafe to be ourselves. And a lot of us might feel like there's not even really a reason for me to feel that. And you know, I had some experiences, or I can think back in my childhood, not in my teenage years or even my adult years, where it really didn't feel safe to be myself, where I've been made fun of or scoffed at or had friends just be like, ugh, this again, when I start expressing my silly magical self. And so yes, there are some experiences, but there's no need to have this deep, deep, deep fear. And so that is a lot of where that can come from. When things aren't healed, they're passed down and passed down and passed down until they're dealt with and they're healed. And that's a part of what we are incarnating here at this time to do, is to heal this collective fear of it's not safe to be myself. And obviously, like on a universal level, it is safe to be ourselves. We're not going to be killed for being ourselves. We're not going to be persecuted, most of us, for being ourselves. So if you feel like it's not safe to be yourself, or you have this mask or facade, or you know what I'm talking about, where you kind of just feel like you're not fully expressing yourself, and it just, you can't fully express yourself no matter how hard you try, ask yourself, you know, when was the first moment that you felt unsafe to totally express yourself? Was there a moment? Was it a moment when someone made fun of you? When someone, I don't know, rejected you when you showed up as yourself? Was it someone who told you, you know, you can't be like this, you won't be successful? Was it that you had role models who acted a different way and you thought that to be like them, you had to act that way? Like, when was that moment? And can we tell ourselves, like, let's talk to our inner children. We all have that inner child inside of us, that version of us who is still that little 5-year-old or 6-year-old or 7-year-old or 8-year-old. And talk to them and be like, hey, that moment when you learned it wasn't safe to be yourself, that wasn't actually what was going on. What was actually going on was, this was just a neutral event. This person made fun of you, but it wasn't because you're not enough as you are. It was because they were triggered by the way you were acting. It's because they had a repressed part of them that so dearly wants to be expressed, and they saw that part of them in you and it triggered them. And so they had a response, which was making fun of you. It actually has nothing to do with you at all. In fact, you're more than enough. You always have been more than enough. But in that moment, your subconscious gave that event the meaning that you aren't good enough as your authentic self, that it's not safe to be your authentic self. And I want you just to know right now that it is so safe for you to be your authentic self. There is nothing safer than for you to fully express yourself authentically. Like, truly actually have this conversation with your inner child. Imagine them, that 5-year-old version of you, 10-year-old version of you, sitting across from you, and talk to them. Talk through this, and it can feel emotional. And that's great. And maybe it doesn't. And that's also great. Whatever the experience is, it's perfect. It's so divine. It's so perfect. And then I challenge you to challenge yourself to find one way that makes you uncomfortable, one thing about you that you want to express that makes you nervous, and express that. Whether it's getting on social media, on an Instagram story, and sharing a wild, crazy thing about you that you've never shared before, or acting totally silly in front of your family like you've never done before, or bringing up maybe you have this love for aliens, or maybe you're like me and you're totally magical and you just want to talk about that with your friends. I challenge you to do that this week, to actually take that action. This is self-love. Take the action, do the thing, have the authentic expression, regardless of the response. And let's take away the meaning that this response has for us. Because a lot of people are like, oh, I can't do that. I might be rejected. They might not want to talk about it. And okay, let's talk about that. Let's say someone is like, oh, that's so annoying, I don't want to talk about that. Does that have to mean anything about you? The reason we're so afraid to be rejected is because of the meaning we give to rejection. When we say, I'm going to be rejected for being my authentic self, for me, that's not a problem. Someone rejects me, whatever. You're not someone that I want in my life then. End of story. It's a great filter system for me. Even on a lot of first dates, I'll ask guys if they believe in aliens. Because if they get weirded out by that, I'm like, all right, we're not a good match. My weirdness is not going to fit with you. And that's great. That's saving me a lot of time. So it doesn't have to mean anything about us when we get rejected. But if we have this belief that if they do not see the world the same way I see the world, then I'm not good enough. Because that's just what's going on. If someone rejects you, they don't see the world the same way you see the world. Our belief systems don't match up here, and that's okay. We cannot expect every single person to have the same belief system as us. And when we have an expectation that everyone else must think and believe the same way as me, we set ourselves up for self-sabotage. Because why do we expect or need everyone to believe and think the same way as us? That would be so boring. And sometimes belief systems are just going to crash and rub up against each other, and they're not going to match up, and that's okay. They're going to go up in flames. That's okay. The only thing that's not okay is giving a rejection the meaning of I'm not good enough because they didn't choose me. I'm not good enough because they didn't agree with me. I'm not good enough because they didn't react the way I wanted them to. Well, let's just choose a different story. Actually, someone rejects you or doesn't accept you because of the way you show up. Does it mean you're not good enough? No, you're more than enough. You're so worthy. You're so amazing. You're so lovable. However, they are just not at the same state of consciousness as you. And everyone is doing the absolute best they can from their current state of consciousness. And we cannot expect everyone to be at our same state of consciousness, our same level of consciousness, our same belief systems. And so if you're out here being your alien, magical, awesome, weird, silly self, and someone doesn't like that, that's fine. We can just be like, all right, cool, that's okay. Our beliefs don't align. Our values don't align right now. We're at different states of consciousness. That is totally chill. As soon as we release the expectations for others to react a certain way, like we have this neediness for them to express to us how amazing we are, or we have this neediness for them to just say something to us or join us, when we act a certain way, all we're doing is projecting something on other people. As soon as we can release that expectation and that need for people to affirm to us, because what we're looking for is affirmation from someone else that it's okay for us to be ourselves. That's what we're looking for. We're showing up and being ourselves, and we are looking for affirmation. When in reality, you need to give the affirmation to yourself. And also, in reality, everyone is a reflection of you. This world is like a hologram of our consciousness, and everyone's a reflection. So if you show up as your authentic self and someone is sitting here like, you're so weird, what's really going on is they're a reflection of subconscious part of you that thinks you are weird. If that triggers you, it's just letting you know that you have that belief already, and it's time to release that belief. Because you know what's happened in my life? When I started showing up as myself, people didn't get it at first, and a lot of my friends were annoyed. And it would even be to the point where I'd start talking about aliens or magic or something. They'd be like, ugh, this again, like, come on. And it just annoyed them. And at first it hurt. And then I realized this stuff, like, whatever, our belief systems don't have to align. They don't have to like the same things as me. They don't have to accept this part of me right now. That's okay. And I know that them not liking this part of me is just a reflection of me not liking this part of me. That's all this is. It has nothing to do with them not liking me at all. And at the same time, if they are triggered, truly triggered, emotionally triggered by me expressing this part of me, it's just because it's a repressed part of them that they are not allowing themselves to express. And them seeing it in me, they are judging it because they're judging that part of themselves already. And as soon as I'm expressing that repressed part of them, they've already been judging that part of them internally. That's why they repressed it. And as soon as I express it, they judge me too, because I am a projection of the part of them that they're already judging. And this is with anything. If anyone is judging you or bullying you, it just means that they're already judging that part of themselves, repressing that part of themselves, that unexpressed part of themselves. And it's being reflected back to them and you. And that's confronting for a lot of people. And it can be very subconscious. So a lot of us don't even realize this is what's going on. But this is what's going on. Now you know. You've been enlightened. So back to my story, what I was saying is, yeah, when I started truly being myself, a lot of my friends didn't get it, didn't like it. Some friends I kind of like almost broke up with, right? Like, we can break up with friends, stop talking to for a while. And now here I am a year later, and the best of my friends in the whole world have come around and are at the same level that I am. And the thing is, they're coming back and now have interest in all the magical things and the weird things that I talk about and the way that I am in a way that they never did before. Even the ones who like were annoyed by it, even the ones who stopped talking to me have come around. Every single one of my friends who rejected me or made fun of me have all come around. It is in freaking sane. But you know why? Because I know every single person is a reflection of me, and I release the judgment of myself, and I release the need to be affirmed by other people, and I release the story that if other people accept me, I am good enough. And I created a story that I just am good enough. And the way other people respond to me has nothing to do with me. And I started to unapologetically show up as myself on social media, in my personal life, in my social life, in my romantic life, in every area of life. And that was scary. It was really scary. I still had a fear that people would not want anything to do with me, that everyone was going to leave my social media, everyone was going to leave my life. But I was like, you know what? That happens. That's okay. I'm going to start from scratch and find people who get me. But you know what? That didn't happen. Some people left. Yeah. But they all came back. So when I began to unapologetically show up as myself, no matter what, everything shifted. And now I am so unapologetically myself. Like, I am probably the weirdest person I know. The weirdest. And I am so proud of that and so happy to be that person. And I'm so confident in me and who I am and my beliefs that I don't care anymore. Like, when I talk about fairies and dragons and all of this stuff that a lot of people think is weird, whatever. This is my belief system. This is my life. This is what makes me happy. And I don't care. Like, it is not an expectation. I do not require everyone to subscribe to my belief system. If I'm talking about magic and other people don't get that or don't subscribe to that belief system, great. That is totally fine. And we can still be friends and we can still get along. But I am never embarrassed. I am never ashamed of my beliefs, of the way I show up in my life, no matter what that means. And that's just not my magical beliefs and like that fun, silly side, but anything. Also, just this can also go toward, you know, just speaking your mind. Sometimes it can be difficult to say things that we mean when we think it won't align with the opinions of people that we trust or look up to. Or we're afraid to set boundaries and tell someone no because we think it'll hurt their feelings. But really what's going on is we're afraid that we'll be rejected because we're no longer pleasing them or aligning with their belief system. So we adjust the way we show up to align with other people's belief systems to please them so that we can still feel accepted and loved and good enough. But as soon as you realize, wait, I'm good enough as I am. I don't need anyone to affirm that to me. I actually just need to affirm it to myself. And I'm projecting the need for that affirmation onto others. But no amount of affirmation in the world can give me what I can give myself. And as soon as you realize that, you can now show up and state your true opinion and say no. Because it doesn't serve anyone to adjust our belief system and who we are to make someone else happy or to protect someone else's feelings. Because remember, if we trigger them, it's just bringing up something for them that wants to be healed as well. So trying to avoid triggering people is literally sabotaging the healing of others. When we're triggered, it's amazing. It's letting us know what inside of us is asking to be healed. That is a great thing. So there's no need to try to not trigger others or to protect the emotions or feelings of others. Of course, I'm not saying you should be mean. Be respectful and kind and loving, always coming from a place of love. But it means that you can start to set your own boundaries and speak your mind and state your true opinion and show up as yourself. And this is powerful. And you know something else that's really powerful? If you want to know what parts of you are unexpressed, think about what kind of people trigger you or make you really annoyed. Or just like, are there those kinds of people that just like make you annoyed for no apparent reason? You don't really know why, that just really bother you. Or are there people who you just can't stand? They never did anything to you, but you just can't stand them. What things about them specifically can you not stand? What things about them specifically trigger you? So for example, I used to get really triggered by people who are really powerful, who are extremely confident and would come off even as cocky or vain is how I would judge them, when they are really confident and they truly love themselves and showed up like that. and they were powerful and successful, these kinds of people triggered me. And I was like, oh, they're so cocky. They're so full of themselves. But really, there was a part of me that wanted to be powerful. There was a part of me that wanted to be confident. There was a part of me that wanted to show up and like seriously show that I loved myself. But I was repressing that because I didn't feel good enough to show up as that version of me. And I repressed it and I pushed it away and I judged that potential part of me. And therefore, when I saw it reflected in my reality, those kinds of people annoyed me and they triggered me. And so I can look at that and realize, wait a second, that's triggering me. That must mean there's a part of me that I'm not expressing. Or it could even be maybe there was a past version of me who used to be like that and I'm judging her instead of forgiving her, instead of accepting her, instead of loving her. Another example is I used to get triggered by people who had a lot of fancy things, who drove flashy cars, who had expensive handbags or designer jeans. I used to judge them once again. And same thing. That was a judgment of the version of me who wanted to do those things. I had suppressed that within me. And when it was reflected back, I would judge those people because I was judging that potential in me to be like them, as being greedy, as being selfish. And it had nothing to do with them and everything to do with me. So if you want to know how to be more authentic and what parts of you aren't being expressed, look at the people that trigger you. And once again, this is a true act of self-love because this isn't easy. To think about the people that bother you the most in the world, that annoy you for no freaking reason, because all our ego wants to do is talk shit about them and hate on them and feel good about hating on them because we're all looking for significance and it gives us a feeling of being more significant when we put others down. So it can be really hard to be like, wait a second, let me step back and really ask myself, how is this a reflection? How is this a reflection of a past version of me or a repressed, unexpressed part of me? And that's an act of self-love, to look at the parts of you that are unexpressed or unforgiven, to bring them to the surface, to forgive them, to accept them, to love them, or to express them. That is difficult, and that is true self-love once again. That is way more powerful than any number of bubble baths or bouquets of flowers that you could ever buy yourself. And that stuff is great and important. Take the bubble baths, buy yourself flowers. I do this all the time. I love buying myself flowers. I love taking bubble baths and loving on myself. But that's not enough. We have to actually dive deep. We can't use the bubble baths and the flowers as an excuse of this surface level version of self-love that keeps us from actually diving into the deep stuff that's kind of painful to look at, that's kind of painful to actually uncover. That feels really uncomfortable. It feels so uncomfortable to look at your triggers. It feels so uncomfortable to show up as a version of you that you're afraid you'll be bullied for. Or maybe that was the fear in childhood and you still have that lingering. Or the fear that's attached to that collective consciousness, the pain body, the pain collective of the feminine consciousness that says it's not safe to be yourself, you could be killed. That's the root, bottom, very, very, very subconscious level of all of this. So what is the very best way to rewire these beliefs to take action on what you want to believe? If you want to prove to yourself that it's safe to be yourself, you need to just go be yourself. And you can start small. Like I said, start small. For me, the first moment, like when I, in the past year, I've become more myself than ever. And the first moment I remember, I was working with a coach and she had me go on my Instagram and she had me do an Instagram story and talk about magic because I believe in magic and I talk to dragons and fairies and it's amazing and I love it and it's so much fun. And I was terrified. I was scared shitless. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not going to make any money. People aren't going to take me seriously. And some people didn't take me seriously. And some people did think it was weird, but most people were intrigued because so many people have an interest in things such as magic and fantasy and blah, 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 whatever it is, but they've repressed it as well. And honestly, I'll probably make a whole nother podcast on my wacky beliefs. I call them wacky because, you know, I don't believe they're wacky and I love them, but wacky compared to what society says is normal and real. And I'll probably make another episode on that because I know a lot of people are interested and I get questions about it a lot on Instagram. But that's not for this episode because I want this episode to be focused around like the 3D, the stuff that fits into most of our belief systems around how to love ourselves. And that means taking action to prove to yourself that you are worthy of being yourself, your authentic self. And maybe you need to start getting yourself around people who you know will accept you. For starters, find that community. Find that group, even if it's just on social media. Find the people who are like the version of you that you are too scared to be. Find the ones who are showing up as them already. Get around those people. That will give you the confidence you need to start actually showing up as you. So, anyways, one of those communities might actually be, I have my Manifesting Abundance Facebook group. It's a beautiful community of spiritual, like-minded manifestors, and that's a really good safe place to be yourself. That's a great place to start. So I love you so much, and you are so worthy and so amazing as your full, authentic, weird, wonderful, silly self, whatever that means for you. And I would love to hear from you if this resonated with you at all. It would mean the world. Share it on your Instagram story, share it on Facebook, and tag me so I can see it. If it resonated with you, it would mean the world if you could leave me a review on iTunes. If you do decide to do that, go ahead and take a screenshot of the review before you submit it and email it over to hello@pursuitofbliss.net, and my assistant will email you back with a gift from me. I'm going to send you one of my recorded guided meditations for you. And I also have free trainings every single week all about manifestation and reprogramming your subconscious and, you know, reprogramming those beliefs that are blocking you from being yourself and holding you back from manifesting all the things that you want, because it's really hard to manifest when we're not being genuine and authentic, right? Because authenticity is extremely high vibrational. That is abundance. So trying to manifest from a place of being afraid to be ourselves means we're going to get surface level results. We're not going to get the big transformative, amazing results. So I have those trainings every week. The link to register, it's completely free, is in the show notes. That is all I have for you today. I hope you're having an absolutely beautiful, magical, wonderful day, and I'm sending you all so much love.